Oh, friends, in case you haven't noticed it, we are all about preparing houses at St. James's today. There is no small amount of excitement about preparing the rectory for the arrival of Father Richard and his family. The lines connecting the vestry leaders with each other have been running hot this week with all that is being put in place to give our new pastor a truly warm and supportive welcome to our community. And today, just after the service, we are preparing our own house, this beautiful church, getting it ready for the celebration of Christmas. Now, yes, Christmas will be different. We are all in a red zone as of tomorrow, Tuesday, whenever it is. Yes, we'll have to follow the rules, and some of us won't be able to be here, and we'll have to be all spaced out and wear our masks. But oh my Lord, we need a celebration this year, don't we? We need Christmas. And we want to make sure for all those people who can't be here with us that at least what they see in the camera will look like Christmas joy too. We're getting excited. Getting things ready is always exciting. It means we are looking ahead in anticipation. We want to be ready to meet the good thing that is coming with the best that we can be. That alone is enough to give us a little bit of joy, and we need joy. If you listened to the lessons this morning with the ears of expectation, what they had to teach us is that we are doing exactly the right thing at exactly the right time. We are preparing our house, and that is what at least two people in the lessons this morning are doing as well. Let's start with King David. There is nothing shy or retiring about King David. He is a big, bold personality. He knows what he wants, and whatever he wants, he is determined to get, not always in the most honorable ways. Like all the rest of us, he is an imperfect, sinful man. But both the outrageousness of his sins and the depth of his faith are amplified, to say the least. He is a man with big appetites and big ambitions and a big heart overflowing with love for God. Today, David has a huge ambition of preparation. He wants to build a house for God. All down through the centuries, since Moses led the people out of Egypt, God has lived among them in a tent. David wants to build God a proper house. Now, it is just possible that what is really up here is that David wants to be known as the king who built a house for God. Whenever we are dealing with King David, we have to be alert for ulterior motives. But the idea is plain. David is determined to build a temple for God. The only problem is God is not in the market for a temple. God is perfectly content living in the tent of meeting. And God, as it turns out, has other plans for David that do not involve managing construction projects. What follows in this story is a wonderful little object lesson about what happens to you when you debate with God. David announces he's going to build a house for God. God replies by toying a little bit with David, pointing out that there doesn't seem to be any record of God actually asking for a house. And then comes the punchline. Yes, a house is going to be built, but it is God who will do the building. God is going to make a house out of David. God is the one who is making preparations. David will get to make his name out of the deal, but not as the builder. He will be the building materials. That is the very beginning of the story that ends in the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke, which we just heard, and that hidden meeting between Mary and Gabriel. Gabriel has come with an invitation. And if you think about it, it's basically the bookend of the invitation that David first tried to offer. God is making preparations again. God has been faithful to the promise to David. The house of David still endures, and Mary is a child of that house. Now, God is about to finish the work that was begun with David so long ago. God is going to bring forth the end of that promise by coming as the anointed one, God among God's own people. God is coming into the world as a child, but now the circumstances are exactly reversed. God needs Mary to do what he would not allow David to do. God needs a builder. Mary, gentle, sweet, anonymous Mary. Mary is going to be that builder. It will be Mary, not David, who provides a house for God. Because in the house of her body, in the house of her own womb, is where the child will be knit together. So much depends in our story, not on a big, bold king, but on a faithful, frightened teenager. And who knows but that the same isn't true again today, somewhere, somehow. That is the Advent question for all of us, my dear friends. Once we get done preparing the rectory, once we get done greening and decorating the church, we are all going to go home. And the question for us then will be, are we building a house for God there? When we gather around our tables tonight, whether we're alone, by ourselves, or with our families, what will we do to prepare a house for God who is coming? How will we follow the example of our sister Mary who says yes? Christ is the love of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, the righteousness, the hope of God, gathered all together and longing to be given birth in this world. What are we doing? How are we preparing to receive him in our hearts? How are you making a space ready for all that is coming? It's the last Sunday of Advent. The time is drawing near. The little family is on the outskirts of Bethlehem. The star is rising in the east. God grant us a sense of the joy to come, that we may set about preparing a place for you. Amen.